the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and the disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Usually when I look at passages of the scripture, I feel encouraged by what I read. And here I have three lessons that frankly scare the living life out of me. And it's because they all deal with one or another aspect of wisdom. Having wisdom. Now, we think that's a great thing, but in the Bible, it is not this deep guru sitting on the mountain type. It's how you do things, so that you get some really cagey people who are described as wise. Now, the first one, of course, will, you can tell it's written by a man, right? Nonetheless, does not portray oppressive patriarchy, because A, this is a culture in which is polygamous, so we're not told that this is the only wife. B, nobody ever heard of love and marriage going together like a horse and carriage. Now this, so this is a place where the woman is very independent, thank you very much. She has her own money. She is running a small business. She apparently has everything in her life except sleep. So this is one kind of wisdom. The other thing is James is very largely, Epistle of James is very largely something about wisdom. How you comport yourself in the world. And so I thought, well, that's good stuff. Okay, so move on. And what do we come to? The gospel. Well, we start with the prediction of the passion. We have the disciples playing a verbal version of King of the Mountain on the road when the teacher isn't looking. And since we get several different versions of this, it's quite obvious it didn't happen only once. So Jesus, in order to do that, does something which today would be very dangerous. He gets a small boy. The word is neuter, but it probably means you've got somebody maybe 6 to 8, it's diminutive, and gets him up. And why is he here? It's because Jesus is giving a visual parable, a prophetic sign, if you will. He's getting the smallest, least powerful person in the entire room, setting up and says, "Receive. As you receive one such little child, you receive me. And if you receive me, you're receiving the one who sent me." Clearly implying God. I think most of us, when we think that, hear and say, oh, isn't that cute? And there is a stained glass window done in the 1950s in a parish in Toronto that shows Jesus surrounded by a bunch of 1950s, 6, 7, or 8 year olds of mixed gender. They're all cute as could be, and Jesus is kind as can be, and you know that this is done by somebody who had never seen a real kid in his or her life. So, one of the things that's attractive about that is that children are attractive. They draw this to them and they use it to the hilt. You have this sweet little kid who is bearing an icon, sweet little kid, you know, and is in fact a little bundle of libido. So, when I was looking at the passage, though, I was appalled. Not about the story, it's an example of how to comport yourself wisely with small children in different ways than you exist, and that is to start by encouraging, emphasizing, and building up the small child in his or her real character. Well, that sounded good, except the very next day I picked up the newspaper and read how the people who are supposed to have been taking care of children were abusing them terribly. And those people were Christians. That is, people who were specifically asked to receive the smallest people in ways that express that. Well, I thought I could fall back on preaching on this by doing the usual thing, which is ignoring the hard part and sticking with the little kid. But unfortunately, I decided that would be too cowardly and very pusillanimous. So, we have the child who is in fact attractive. We have the people who are told how they are to behave. The reason this is wisdom is you notice this is not a command. He doesn't say to them, you must receive children. He says, receive this little child, and as you receive him, you receive me and my Father who sent me. Now, that's fine and dandy, except that it's rather hard to do. And secondly, we tend not to be prepared when we find the dark side of that, which is the side we have been reading in the papers about for the last month, several months and years. I think one thing that the trouble with this is that this is clearly evil in the strict sense. And we'd like to ignore it, or even better to say, it's really the problem of those other people. Roman Catholics have this problem, Episcopalians don't. Well, we in Canada know that this isn't actually gonna go anywhere because the church schools of the last century and the previous one were terrible. They weren't, in fact, largely committed by clergy, but we were responsible, and the result was at least one diocese had to be disbanded because it was now bankrupt from payment from all these. So I thought to myself, what is actually happening here? Because what Jesus is drawing people's attention to is the question of power and how we exercise it. And particularly when we exercise it vis-a-vis small children, who are the most visibly helpless. Now, the reason for mentioning that is that we know that when someone in power flicks or event or tramples on some small person, it's devastating. That is, the person is a person with an image who is responsible and has abused that. Now, I think all of us, when we read these things, are disgusted. I read one and I practically wanted to throw up. But it doesn't change the fact that is it an exceptional thing Is it something that only happens to bad people? Bad people do that. I'm not a bad person. But sadly, that isn't the case. All of us are called upon to carry an image of some sort. Now, that is true whether you're a layman, Christian, a non-Christian, whatever. If you're a parent, you're carrying an icon. Fatherhood, motherhood. If you're a teacher, you're also carrying one. If you're simply an adult vis-a-vis a child, you're carrying an icon. And you aren't fully the icon of me. You are flawed like everybody else, and so is the child. So how is it that we are to act wisely in this case? What is the thing that brings us to respond faithfully to the kind of world we live in without judging the people involved, but at the same time condemning rightly everything that's going on? Well, I thought about it, and I have a particular way of knowing something about this. I was molested when I was a young teenager. Well, after only 30 years, I managed to figure it out and put it together, but it doesn't matter. It's because someone who was supposed to be taking care of me abused me. Now, in my case, it wasn't anybody in the church. It wasn't a teacher. It was in the family, which is the extended family, which is the most normal place in which it does it, and which we're most inclined to look elsewhere when we encounter it. Now, I grew out of it, and I have forgiven the person who did it, and better, I'm making progress at forgiving myself, even though I was only 12 years old. So, that is part and parcel, but I thought, okay, how is it that we, all of us, exercise wisdom properly in this sort of situation? And I believe that our epistle, I'm not going to go into it because you don't have time, read it over. It says there are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom, in effect, that builds up. The other that devours. And it is the kind of wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. Then there's the other, which is full of kindness and love. Now, none of us can do it all the time in the right way. But every single one of us creates an atmosphere in which the really bad things can happen or not. So what I'd like to say is, let's use this passage to get up and in our little patch, our kid, our two pupils, our grandkids, the ones we see, hapless people we encounter, let's be that of accepting them and saying, look at this. And then going on our way, we can't do more than that. But if all of us do it, by God, we will have some power in this world, and it will change. So I commend us to stand up to this little kid and accept everyone we know who's powerless vis-a-vis our power, even if we don't think we have any. And with that, it will indeed become the kind of world in which the things we read about by people who should have been there to protect them won't happen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as most merit, justly do all might, majesty, power, dominion, and glory.